twice a week, whatever, getting together corporately. There's an anointing. There's things that happen as a time of teaching, a time for that corporate anointing for us to bring our gifts to worship God and things like that. But there, you learn so much in the context of a small group. I'm telling you, I really do not believe you can be a disciple unless you have interactive relationships with other believers. It's really impossible. And you're called not only to be a disciple, but to make disciples. And that means you need to know what you know, and you need to know why you know it, and you need to know that you know it so that you can tell other people why you know what you know. Come on, somebody. Because you make disciples everywhere you go. And the problem is, I mean this respectfully, but the problem is most Christians don't know what they know. They say they're Christians, they say believe in Jesus, but we don't know why. Well, because Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. That's good. It's true. But if your theology and doctrine doesn't get any deeper than that, even after the first year of being a disciple, I would say a few weeks, but I'm going to give you grace this morning. And that's good doctrine, because God does love you. Jesus loves you. But if we don't grow beyond that, we're really, really not becoming disciples. And there's so many people that need to hear about the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Some of these, those of you who have been attending right through summer, you've heard these verses over and over, but they are going to get into our core, because this is the core of the good news of Jesus Christ. "Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit," verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things." How many things? "That I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus is giving us our assignment, our mission, if you will, but he's saying, look, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. And it's called Holy Spirit. And we talked on the Holy Spirit, and really it took a great deal of time at the beginning of summer and ministered on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue to teach those, that several times throughout the year. If you want to get caught up, get online. You can teach all those. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this church. And we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and we walk in those. Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross," and what? "Follow me." See, this is the call, taking up our cross and following Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, yeah, I'm just going to take up the cross of Jesus. You can't. He took his cross up. You have to take your cross up. What does that mean? Some people say, "Well, it's this bum foot that I've got. This is my cross for Jesus." No, it's not. Get up, believe for healing, and if not, then get a cane and go out and preach the gospel. Come on, help me out, somebody. You know, your cross is to follow Jesus. What did Paul the Apostle say? Galatians 2:20. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." That's my cross, giving my life to follow Jesus Christ. Luke 14:33. "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that," does it say all there? "All that he has cannot be my disciple." So forsaking all that you have, that doesn't mean you don't provide for your family. That doesn't mean you don't enjoy life. Listen, as Christians, we should be enjoying life. That's another problem. Most Christians don't know how to have fun. Most Christians are just running around trying to find somebody else that they can pin something on. It's amazing to me. I have people call me up and say, "I saw so-and-so, and you won't believe what they were doing." And I just say, "Don't even tell me." Because if I told them what you were doing right now, they wouldn't believe what you were doing. Come on, somebody. But running around trying to find somebody to pin something on to make ourselves feel better. Why don't you just fall in love with Jesus and let him take care of it? I mean, really, that's all that matters. You know, it doesn't matter if someone else is over here doing this or someone else is over here doing that. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you getting up in the morning and are you saying, "Jesus, I know it's early and I had a long day yesterday, but I know that you'll strengthen me today. And I don't care about being tired because I'm so in love with you. I can't leave for another day without getting a taste of heaven." Psalm 34:8, it says, "Taste and see the Lord is good." Taste and see that the Lord is good. And really, you and I should be doing that. And we've talked about that over the past few weeks. And really, we should be plugging into God's disciple program, which is the body of Christ. You see a picture of New Testament believers really living aside one another for the sake of one another, caring for one another. And that's what we've been spending a lot of time on, talking about hosting one another, talking about loving one another, talking about having equal concern for one another, talking about receiving one another's. And really, it's so much more than just going out and having lunch or dinner. That's part of it, receiving one another into each other's homes, Acts 2:42, you know, the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayers. I mean, and we'll probably share that scripture a little bit later too. But really, that is how you and I get strengthened in the body of Christ. But it's really not just receiving each other that, but receiving each other and the gifts that we have to offer one another. You're going to see a video towards the end of this message this morning, where you'll start to see why it's so important to be part of a small group, a relate group, and how that's part of receiving one another. Jesus said when you receive someone in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. And so there's a reward that comes in honoring one another, in serving one another. The Bible tells us that since we've received this liberty from Jesus Christ, that we should take that liberty not to serve ourselves, but to serve one another. And so we've been given liberty to serve one another and to reach out and to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with as well. Now, last week we left off with Romans 15:14, and we're going to read right there this morning. It says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge." This is prophetic, okay. I'm speaking this into existence, that we are all filled with knowledge. Come on, somebody. All knowledge. Able to admonish one another. This, listen, we read this sometimes, we think, oh, that's for the disciples. Well, yeah. Look to me, say, I am a disciple. There you go. There's not disciples and then all the other Christians. There's nowhere in Scripture that supports that theory. It's only in America that we think that way. Awful quiet in here. But it says that you and I should be filled with all knowledge, also able to admonish one another, or to warn or caution, or really just say to teach. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So getting in interactive relationships with one another, receiving one another, praying for one another, can only happen if we're meeting together in a small group atmosphere. Now, we pray for each other at church, and we do, and we will, and we should have all of that as well. But it needs to go beyond that, so that we can grow in spiritual maturity. 2 Peter 1:20. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. And the knowledge, do you see, as we're growing in knowledge, grace and peace is multiplied. This is good. If you want more grace and more peace, we just did a message Wednesday on peace. If you weren't here, you need to get online and listen to that. You and I, the only way that you can really have peace in this crazy world that we're living in is to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way. What does his word say for you and for your family? But he says here, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, that we're growing. As his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So if you want your needs met, help me out, somebody. You need to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God says about me, I'm not talking about having the biggest house in your neighborhood. I'm not talking about having the fastest car, though that would be nice. Nothing wrong with going fast, just don't get caught. Okay. I didn't say it. We'll take that. We're going to take that right out of the, that won't be online. You had to be here to hear that. Okay. But see, we're so consumed with consumerism and things of this life that what we have is a bunch of Christians who aren't disciples who live carnal lives. Help me out, somebody. This is true. And churches are full of them, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But that's not how we should be living. So if you want to grow in your knowledge of him, you need to be involved in a relate group. You need to receive one another and the gifts that God has. See, God has not just given gifts to the fivefold ministry and those who pastor and teach and are apostles and those kinds of things. We believe in all that. Again, we've taught on that in the beginning of this series. But what's more important is that you plug in to what it is God has for you to do. So there can be more pastors, more teachers, more apostles, more evangelists. Because you need to know your gifting. And the best way you can know your gifting is to be around other people who can help you recognize that. And that's by receiving one another. But he says, we grow in our knowledge of him. Verse 4, by what you're giving to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. See, so what you see is happening is we are growing in the knowledge of Christ. We're growing in grace. We're growing in peace. We're growing in our provision, the things that we need. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these things will be added unto you. I have the pleasure conducting a ceremony, a wedding ceremony this afternoon. And this couple goes to our church. They had dated and dated and said, that's it. I'm not going to date anymore. The Bible says, seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these things will be added. God will bring you a spouse. They both got to that point. You know what? God brought them a spouse. Let me know, when you want a spouse, A spouse is a good thing, right? Come on. But, you know, you and I need to learn that we should be seeking the kingdom of heaven first. Jesus taught us that, and Jesus knew what he was saying. Does anyone believe that this morning? Then he says in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You know faith can be added to? And he says to add virtue. That means moral excellence. Moral excellence. Now, when we think of moral excellence, here's what we think in this country. I don't drink, I don't chew, I don't run with those that do, and I sure don't get into pornography. Now, all that, we shouldn't do that stuff, okay? We shouldn't be carousing. We shouldn't be in pornography. But what we do is we exclude, we just say, well, okay, I don't deal with those things. Because many people may not deal with that stuff. But then we got a bunch of other stuff that we allow in our lives. And that's not how you and I should be living. We should be growing in moral excellence. What does moral excellence mean? Moral excellence means I look at people. I mean, this is the simplest way I can put it. I live my life and look at people the way God sees people. That's moral excellence. I don't know how easy. It's because what we do is we make it a bunch of rules. That is not what God's talking about. It's not rules. Moral excellence is I have the character of God on the inside. And what does it say about God? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So how can I be stingy with my life? Ouch. It's the truth. So there, really, we can no longer only live for ourselves. We have to live for the one who gave his life for us so that we can start to live like him and reach out to so many people that are around us. But then he says, add to that virtue or moral excellence, knowledge. You know, do you get the idea here that we need to be gaining knowledge in our relationship with Christ? How many times can you say that word in one paragraph? All right? Growing in our knowledge of him. In Colossians, you read all through it. You know, Paul the Apostle says, in him. In him. See, the only way you and I can grow spiritually is to be in Jesus. Not to come up with a bunch of rules and regulations, but to continually pursue him. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? You do that by making it your first priority. You seek Jesus. You pray for Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to give you wisdom. And then you read the Bible. We've got Bible plans to help you with that. You get involved in a relate group. You come to church. You take notes. You bring your Bible to church. I'm not going to ask how many have their Bibles this morning. That'll just get us all in trouble. So we're going to skip that one. I love you. So it says, to knowledge adds self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. And so we're starting to live a life that looks a lot like Jesus. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So see, as we're seeking Jesus, as we're seeking Father God, as we're growing in our knowledge and understanding of the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says we will not be barren or unfruitful in the things that we start to learn about him. If you want to know about your Heavenly Father, if you want to know about Jesus, you do the things we're talking about. And what will start to happen, it's not, well, I'm going to get a couple of rules I can keep, and then I'm going to go around, and I'm going to be like, now we have a mission. I believe we are kind of like secret detectives, if you will, for the kingdom, looking who we should minister to. But so many times, Christians are just looking out who they can find that they're better than or whatever, and then criticize, like we said. That's what we do. That is not what we should be doing. We should be growing in our knowledge of Christ, reaching out, becoming fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. And you know, it's so simple. When you start to think about these things, in God's perspective, you start to read scriptures, and scriptures really start to make sense. And some people say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. That's because you read it with a carnal attitude. Okay? You can make anything contradict itself if you want to. Take things out of context and not understand the heart of the author and those kinds of things. You can do that. But Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, whatever you ask will be done for you. Now, after this series, we're going to get into a series on prayer, and we're going to talk about prayer. But you see, what we see is the same thing here. If we're growing, if we're seeking, if we're abiding in him, we will not be barren or unfruitful. And listen to what he says in verse 9. This is really something to kind of slap us upside our face. He says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And you know, so many times we're living our lives for ourselves, and we've forgotten what Jesus did for us. If you want to know how to reach out to that person that you work across the hall from, or down the line from, or that neighbor, if you want to know how to reach out to them, remember where you were before Jesus got a hold of you. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but 23 years ago, I was not serving God at all. Many of you, most of you probably know some of the stories I've shared, but, you know, I didn't get saved until I was 31 years old, and I remember what he took me up out of. I mean, those scriptures that he pulled me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock and changed my life. And if you want to know how to look at somebody with the eyes of Christ, remember what he did for you. And if you can't remember that, I'm praying for you, because you should. And if you haven't had that kind of experience, you may have grown up in a Christian home. With all respect, you need an experience like that, where he saves you from yourself. You know, our children have had the blessing of growing up in a Christian family. And every one of our kids, the only one's a teenager, the other two are in their 20s, but even that one's 19 now. So they've had several times in their life where it's been fall flat on your face, Jesus just knocked you out and you ain't living at that level anymore. Because you can't. But so many of us, we're not concerned about being disciples. We're concerned about this life. So we live carnal lives. We're blind. We're short-sighted. Peter says, don't you know your life is a vapor? I'm going to date myself a little bit. How many remember the Cheech and Chong movie, Up in Smoke? Don't go watch it, please. Okay, don't. Just don't. Well, maybe part. No, don't. Don't watch any of it. I'm sorry. Don't watch any of it. But do you realize your life, listen, your life, the things you have, the things you possess, are going to go up in smoke. Do you realize that? There's nothing you have that you own, not one thing. But you know, we act like it's ours. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. Well, I'm a self-made man, Pastor. Well, then repent. If you're a Christian. Doesn't mean you can't have stuff. I'm not saying God wants you to be a blessing. You can't be a blessing if you can't get by. Help me out. But you, anything you have, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. It belongs to Father God, really. I mean, the cattle on a thousand hill, it's all his, and the hill, and the grass, and the dirt. And I'm not a scientist, but you know, then you got all the crusts of the earth, and then you got the core. Listen, it all belongs to him, all right? It's all his. I mean, matter of fact, he's kind of like, I think of God this way. I don't know about you. But if God wanted to, he'd be kind of like, you know what, today, I feel like playing basketball. Let's just use the earth. I mean, really. No, he wouldn't do that because he loves us, and that would not be a fun ride. But you realize, this is a revelation for some of us. God is bigger than you. God, listen, somebody back, God's smarter than you are. I know, you go home and say, I learned something in church today, that God's smarter than me. All right? And this is what the Word says. The Word says, don't you know your life is a vapor? Jesus said, you can't even find your life until you lose it. Jesus said, if you don't deny everything and follow me, you can't even be a disciple. You won't even know what your life is about until you start to use the things that God has so graciously given to you to use as your own and start to honor him in every area of your lifestyle. And start to live your life out of that. So what about me time? Listen, if you live your life the way I'm saying, you'll have plenty of me time. All right? Plenty of me time. Because you'll have Jesus time, and you and Jesus will have Jesus and me time, and it'll be awesome. And you won't even think that way. Because what you'll be saying is, oh, man, it's busy. I got to get away and get some time with Jesus. Forget the me time. Because you're only complete in him. All right? So when we live our lives in a way that's not honoring God and we're not growing in our relationship with him, the Bible says that we're blind, we're short-sighted. We've forgotten that we were cleansed from our old sins. In verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Be even more diligent. And so many Christians and so many churches call, I just go to church. I even put money in the plate when somebody's watching. I serve once a month in children's ministry. Now listen, serving in church and all those are important. Giving tithes and offerings are important. But what we've done is we've taken a lifestyle and we've said, well, people say, well, where do you go to church? Now, that's an okay question. I am not going to bash our whole, call it subculture called Christianity. I don't want to bash it all because some of it's good. But where do you go to church? And that's an okay question, I guess. But you know what we just mean? We think that's it. Well, I go over here. And even some churches say, well, you know what? You take your money, 10% of the money that you have and is God's. And here's, and I've seen people teach it this way. They'll say, you know, here's 10 of something, and we can line something up. I could take 10 chairs or whatever up here and line them up, and I'd have 10. And I'd say, look, this is one chair here, and here's another 9. This one is God's, and these other 9 are yours. There's churches that teach that. Listen, look at me, please. That is not the truth. Okay, it may grow a ministry. It may grow a church. Let me just say that. It may get a lot of people because people say, well, gosh, 10%, I could do that. Well, most wouldn't anyway, but that's nowhere in Scripture, really. Well, what about the tithe, Pastor? Oh, you know what? I'm not qualified, really, to teach on all the tithes, but I know it's more than 10%, okay? It really is. It starts with that, and it's given to people under the law. People say, well, that's under the law. We're not under the law. Yeah, you're under grace. He wants it all. He wants you to live like a child of God because it's all yours and you don't need anything. And when you live that way, he gives you more because he knows it's going to just slip through your fingers and other people are going to be changed because of your life. That's how you should live, not 10%. Because 10% we'll just live our week all week long and then we'll just drag our butt to church, put in our time, drag our butt back to our life. How many remember Looney Tunes? You got the coyote and you got the sheepdog. How many ever seen that one? They kind of just, well, I can't remember their names, but they say good morning, they punch in. Peek-peek. Ralph, that's it, Ralph. I knew Ron David would know. I don't know how I knew that. Okay. Punch in. You are enemies all day long because how many know, you know, the wolf or the coyote, rather, the coyote and the sheepdog don't get along because the coyote's trying to get the sheep. But then they punch out and they're okay, let's go have coffee. I mean, come on, you know. And what we think is we think, well, I'll live my life the way I want to. Then I'll come to church, slip in, slip a little in the plate, maybe, and slip out. I might even give people a Holy Ghost high five, say, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored, Pastor. Oh, my life is crap, but I'm blessed and highly favored. Get me out of here so I can get back to that crappy life. And we wonder why statistics show us that the church is just as miserable as the world. That's why. Because we've taught you wrong. Pastors and churches have taught the wrong things for too long. And I've said before, this church is going to be bigger than this building if we start to get a hold of this. Will we build on? Yeah, we have to, sure. We'll do whatever. I mean, you got to have a building to congregate in from time to time. But I'm not going to put pressure on people and say, well, you know, you're giving 10%, now you got to give 20%, and we got to build on back here. I'm not going to say that we won't do things and say, you know what, God's called us to do something. We're going to pray about doing our best, and we're going to do that, and whatever God brings in, that's what we're using. We'll do things. I'm not saying that. But we've gotten so caught up with building the church that the church never gets built. But we got another place to go meet at, and somebody else can tell us, God only wants 10%. And I smile better than him, and my hair is perfect. I just took my hair out of the whole scenario, so you don't have to worry. The pastor in this church does not have hair. And that's the only perfect hair, by the way. You say, how do you know? I used to have hair, and it's unruly. Okay, I mean, this, I get up in the morning, less than 5 minutes, it looks just like it did the day before. I can't say this any differently. Jesus wants your life. And if you're not willing to do that and to follow him, then ask for prayer. And ask him what it is that's keeping you from wanting that. Ask somebody to pray for you. Plug in. Get in a relate group. Get involved in people's lives. Or go to another church. I mean, I should not say that from the pulpit. But I know when the Lord asked us to do this, he said to me, Tony, and I've been associate pastor in three other churches, helped building programs. I'll tell you what, I can get a building program done. I can do any of that kind of stuff. If we had to, if God asked me to. But he specifically said, when he called Trish and I to pastor this church, he said, if you will build the body, you will never, ever lack a place to meet, ever. And God's been faithful. I mean, God always holds up his bargain. Problem is, we don't hold up our bargain because we're not patient enough. We don't have any peace. We're trying desperately to give him that 10%. And it still ain't working. Then give 20%, 30%, just give it all. Say, well, pastor, are you telling me I should sell my house? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you got too much house and not enough Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. Holy Spirit, we need your ministry. We want to be diligent. We want to make our call and election sure. We don't want to stumble. We want to honor you with our lives. And so we commit to live for you. I ask that you would just impart gifts unto every person here today. Just come to them by revelation, by dreams, by visions, by the word of God, through the prophetic, through words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and impartation of every kind to get us on track with what it is you have for us today. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you may have even lifted your hand and prayed in a church service. I don't know. But I'm asking you today, if you're here and say, you know what? I have not been serving God. I have not lived for him. Today, I want you to make a decision to say, I'm going to be a disciple. Now, here's what happens. You receive Jesus Christ. Part of the gift is you get eternal life. It's awesome. Your sins are forgiven. But he says he wants you to serve him with your life. But here's the good news. He's got a life for you that you cannot imagine. It's way beyond your expectation or belief. And so you're here today and say, Pastor, I've been living for myself. I want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven, and I want to start to serve him in this life. If that's you, I want to pray for you. On the count of three, I want to see your hand because I want to give you some information about becoming a disciple, becoming a believer. One, two, three. Lift your hand quick. Say, pray for me, Pastor. Everybody's on their way to heaven. Everybody's a disciple. All right. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. We just want to encourage you, check out the Information Center. If you're a first-time guest with us, we have something called a welcome brochure. It tells you about our ministry. We'd love to give you one of these. Anyone here for the first time? Anybody? First time? Thank you for coming out today. Anywhere else? Right in the back there, too. Just leave your hand up for a moment. And there's a card on the inside. If you'd fill that out, we'd appreciate it. Turn it in at the Information Center. We've got some gifts there for you. But we'd like your input on the service, and we hope you come back and worship with us. But everybody else, check out the Information Center. Get involved.